Today on All Together Now, we talk to some of the artists and folks behind the Lazarus Project, an art exhibition from May 14th through May 21st from Free Columbia, based in Hillsdale, showing at Inky Editions, 112 Front Street near the Amtrak station in Hudson. Kieran Riley talks to the artists involved in the Lazarus Project. Tom DiPietro and Ellen Thurston from the WGXC Afternoon Show talk to Peter Battison, member of the English Camp Hill community and exhibit curator who will discuss Worldwide Weave at the Solaris Center for the Social Arts through May 16th. Roseanne Cash's Radio Operator is the song of the day, and there are reports from Woodstock, Uniana, New Paltz, Albany, Catskill, Livingston, Copake, Canaan, Germantown, Kinderhook, Rensselaer County, and points beyond. Stay tuned for All Together Now, your nightly news show on WGXC.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, May 13th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. At the top of the news, Katie Kosajanski is reporting in the Daily Mail that the acquisition of the former St. Patrick Central Catholic High School by the Mental Health Association of Columbia and Greene Counties is now on hold. In a recent meeting with the village officials, MHA was briefed on three zoning-related options for the property. The association can request a zoning variance, a special use permit, or a change in the zoning law. Association Executive Director Jeff Rovitz said the options are under consideration, but no decision has yet been made. Until the association makes that decision, the village must wait. Catskill Village President Heather Bagshaw said, and I quote, "We asked them for a timely response on what they would like to do going forward," end quote. Rovitz said if the purchase goes through, the building will require more than $2 million in renovations. The association's plan for the building calls for the consolidation of six or seven of its Greene County locations. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. The Register Star has a rundown of upcoming construction projects in Columbia County. Beginning May 18th, the bridge that carries Columbia County Route 19 over a tributary to the Klein Kill in Livingston will be closed while culvert replacement work is done. The bridge is expected to be closed for 2 to 3 months. A posted detour will traverse County Route 19 and 8 and Route 9. The replacement of four other bridges or large culverts will also begin within the coming weeks. The Dinehart Bridge in Copake and the large culvert carrying Columbia County Route 24 over Indian Creek and Canaan will both be replaced beginning in early June. The Dean Bridge in North Hillsdale will also be replaced, and construction is slated to begin late June. A major culvert sidewalk replacement project under a section of Main Street in Germantown will begin immediately after the July 4th holiday. County Department of Public Works will post local off-site detour routes for use by local traffic for each of these projects. You can read that story in the Register Star. And for our final story, Casey Seeler is reporting at Capital Confidential that the Communications Workers of America have endorsed 19th Congressional District candidate Democrat Zephyr Teachout and Democrat State Senate candidate Sarah Nicoli. The union is currently locked in a bitter month-long strike against Verizon. The endorsement was made Thursday, May the 12th, at the Verizon picket line in Cairo. On Wednesday, May 11th, Teachout's Democratic opponent, Will Yandick, announced the endorsement of two Woodstock officials, longtime supervisor Jeremy Wilbur and town board member Laura Rickey, as well as Ulster County legislator John Perrette. One of the largest unions in New York's, CWA has more than 1,800 active members in the 19th Congressional District Union. Union representatives said many of its members are already volunteering to knock on doors and phone bank on behalf of Teach Out. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential. While the U.S. Congress is yet to investigate the water crisis in Flint, Michigan, Kinderhook-based Congressperson Chris Gibson wants to hold hearings over the water in Rensselaer County. Kenneth C. Crow II writes in Capital Confidential that Gibson is asking the U.S. House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform to investigate the PFOA contamination of drinking water in Hoosick, Hoosick Falls, and Petersburg. The congressman wrote, and I quote, "Critical questions regarding the actions of the Federal Environmental Protection Agency, New York State Department of Health, and New York State Department of Environmental Conservation remain unanswered. Regrettably, the New York legislature has changed course and now will not conduct oversight hearings on what went wrong and why, after stating they would be holding hearings on this matter. This has only increased frustration and concern among many of my constituents and myself that our regulatory agencies are not facing the necessary and appropriate oversight of their agencies." You can read that full story in Capital Confidential. Heavy Mayor reports in the Columbia paper that the Germantown Planning Board says a retail store on Route 9G could have a negative environmental impact on the town. The story does not indicate exactly how the retail store, in this case a proposed Dollar General, would have a negative environmental impact in Germantown, but the Germantown Planning Board voted unanimously on April 28th to give the project a positive declaration for the State Environmental Quality Review, the SEQR. Like other retail outlets in Germantown, the proposed 9,100 square foot store would have a parking lot, lighting signage, a loading area, and landscaping. There will be public meetings in the next few weeks on the issue, the story says. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Daily Freeman reports that Dean Skelos, the former state majority leader, a Republican in Albany, was sentenced May the 12th to 5 years in prison and $500,000 fine for extortion, fraud, and bribery. Earlier in the month, former State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, a Democrat, was sentenced to 12 years in prison in a similar corruption case. Despite that news, legislators in Albany have done little this session to reform ethics or transparency. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. And for our final story, Bill Mahoney in Politico New York reports that a few different names topped the list of spending by lobby groups in Albany in 2015. The ProTax Invest in Education Coalition, the Labor Union New York State United Teachers, the Charter School Advocates Families for Excellent Schools topped the list of lobbyist spending. Two groups intent on changing votes on the 421A tax credit, the New York City and Vicinity Carpenters Labor Management Corporation, and the real estate-backed Putting New York to Work were fourth and seventh in spending. Only the teachers' union has been on previous top 10 list of lobbyists spending in Albany. You can read that full story at Politico New York. And now for the weather.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts rain continues through the night into Saturday morning. 80% chance of rain Saturday. Low of 49 overnight and a high of 66 on Saturday. Saturday night, the rain probably continues as well with an 80% chance and a low around 39. Sunday, there's a slight chance of showers, just 20%. It should be partly sunny with a high near 49.
You are listening to the WGXC News Update. I'm Alana Medlock. The Zephyr Teach Out campaign announced May 13th three debates with opponent Will Yandick, though none in the immediate area. The two will discuss issues June 7th in Woodstock, with Brian Hollander of the Woodstock Times moderating, another by the League of Women Voters June 8th in Oneonta, and televised on Time Warner Cable June 15th with Liz Benjamin as moderator. Teach Out and Yandick have a June 28th primary to face either John Faso or Andrew Heaney to replace Chris Gibson, Republican from Kinderhook in the 19th Congressional District. Yandick is a guest on All Together Now on WGXC at 6 p.m. Tuesday, May 17th. William J. Kembel in the Daily Freeman reports that the New Paltz Village Board wants New York to divest pension money from a financial management fund that benefits Pilgrim Pipeline Holdings, LLC. On May 11th, Mayor Tim Rogers said at the town's board meeting, quote, "The New York State Pension Fund has investment holdings across a variety of different investment managers and several different funds under the Ares Management umbrella. One of their funds in particular has Pilgrim as a portfolio," end quote. The company wants to build two 182-mile pipelines from Albany to Linden, New Jersey, moving natural gas to New Jersey and refined fuels north to Albany. Quote, "I believe we have significant leverage in that our pension fund has about $700 million of exposure across a variety of different funds that Ares, this behemoth of an investment management firm, is responsible for," end quote, the mayor said. No vote was taken, but Rogers said many other small towns along the pipeline's proposed route will consider similar divestment measures. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Scott Waldeman in Politico, New York, reports that the State Department of Environmental Conservation wants more information before ruling on a proposal to frack for natural gas in the southern tier using propane and sand rather than water. Tioga Partners LLC entered an application that the DEC has deemed incomplete that would get around Governor Andrew Cuomo's 2014 state ban on hydraulic fracturing. Under this proposal, the fracking would be done with liquefied petroleum gas and sand instead of water to split rocks to get to the gas. Linda Collart, the DEC's regional mineral resources supervisor, said the department is trying to, quote, "make a determination if this relatively unique fracturing technology that has not heretofore been subject to a full environmental analysis has the potential to cause significant adverse environmental impacts," end quote. Read the full story in Politico, New York. Brian Nearing in the Albany Times-Union reports that a series of energy-related protests kicked off around the Capital Region May 11th when climate protesters drove the head of federal energy policy from the stage at a conference of the Independent Power Producers of New York. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission Chairman Norman Bay was interrupted and shouted down by about a half a dozen protesters at the Desmond Hotel and Conference Center, leaving through a side door instead of finishing his speech. The protesters included Igor Vamos, a media professor at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute and a founder of the Yes Men, a media protest group that holds fake press conferences and uses other stunt tactics to bring attention to social issues. Members of Break Free Albany, an anti-fossil fuel group, plan to disrupt oil train traffic at the Port of Albany on May 14th, organizer Ali Johnson-Kurtz told the paper. The group is also planning a kayak flotilla May 13th on the Hudson River to draw attention to the oil trains running up and down the river. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union.
And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 13th day of May, 2016. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
First interview is Kieran Riley from the WGXC Afternoon Show talking to Finnish multimedia artist Samsa Pertola, American producer Jordan Walker, painter and Free Columbia co-founder Lara Summer, production designer and musician Tim Kolaski about the Lazarus Project that's showing May 14th through 21st in Hudson at Inky Editions, 112 Front Street near the Amtrak station.
Lara Summer, welcome.
Hi, my name is Samsa Pertola.
Yeah, and my name is Jordan Walker, and we're thrilled to be here.
And Jordan Walker, and these are wonderful dear folks from Free Columbia, which is an organization. Maybe we could start off by, can we just say that? What is Free Columbia?
Well, Free Columbia is an arts organization, and We run a lot of different kinds of programming. We have a program, a full-time program for adults in painting and drawing, social change, and nature observation. We run programs for children. We run performances often in Philmont, where we're based. And we have a puppetry program and run a big puppetry tour in the summer. And right now, we're running a project called the Lazarus Project.
Okay, let's talk about the Lazarus Project. Who was Lazarus, first of all? I had it wrong. Or does it matter? Is it the Lazarus from the Bible? Maybe.
Well, it's really interesting how Lazarus seems to be involved in our time right now in 2016. Because, yes, it is part of the Bible. The Gospel of St. John mentions somebody whose name is Lazarus. And that person has died. And Jesus comes and calls Lazarus out of the tomb. And what that means and seems to have captured a lot of people's imagination in many, many different ways. There are comic strips about Lazarus, called Lazarus. There are television shows that have been called The Lazarus Man, I think. And there's a very recent musical in New York City with the music written by David Bowie called Lazarus.
That's right. David Bowie. Sorry. Rest in peace, David Bowie.
Yeah.
Big fan here on the Monday afternoon show.
So somehow this subject of what does it mean to die and to be called out of death, what kind of transformation is that? What happens to us when we die? What's this all about? Seems to be a very current question in our time. It also touches on things like artificial intelligence, Ray Kurzweiler, the idea that you could download your entire self into a computer and therefore you could live forever, is a really interesting question about, like, well, what are we really? So that's what we're working with. All of those things.
Sounds like some radical art going down there on Front Street here. So the Lazarus Project, maybe you want to share with us, what do we expect to see? It's definitely art, I think, visual art. What kind of visual arts and what else will be present down there?
Yeah, so that was kind of an early impulse, was to bring together folks from different disciplines. So to create a multidisciplinary interactive performance that involves installation, painting, video, performance, and how can that be work, different ways of working with a common theme, and for that theme to be ancient, like Bible ancient, but also really, really contemporary at the same time. So that was, I think, part of the excitement about us working with different artists who work in different ways, but all holding a kind of a mysterious theme that when you dig into it, ends up taking us everywhere. And we didn't know about David Bowie's play until we were well into it. And there's a song on his last album and everything. And it's once you begin to work with something, you start to see it everywhere. And this idea, not just of death and then life after death, but really a sleep that is like death, makes me think of zombie culture. And sort of what does it mean to be sleepwalking through life? And then what does it mean to wake up from that? And what wakes you up? And how to stay awake? How to encourage others to be awake? These are some of the questions that are very active in this project.
Well, I intend to be woken up by checking this out. We want to mention it's May 14th through 21st, just to put it out there. There is an event every night between the 14th and the 21st, starting at 7 p.m. The gallery is open from 4 to 9 p.m. continuously on every day throughout those, count now, 1 week?
8 days.
8 days. Okay.
Saturday to a Saturday.
Saturday to a Saturday. And the The place is called Inky Additions. There's a funky old factory behind the Basilica in Hudson on Front Street. It's 112 Front Street. Inky Additions is actually a print shop down there in that LMB. People know it as the LMB building where they have CrossFit. I think they got Chris Perry's Metal Workshop down there. I think E-Waste is still doing stuff down there. There's also another, they're doing some furniture stuff down there.
Antiques.
Who knows what else is going on in the depths of that factory building. But I'll tell you what, May 14th kicks off the Lazarus Project. This should be absolutely fascinating. Painting, video, installation, and performance. So we're going to have some music too, no?
Yep.
Who's going to play? Who's going to play?
Yeah, so we could actually run down the schedule. It's... So on Saturday, May 14th at 7 p.m., we actually begin with an opening reception, and that will be at 7 p.m. And then
and Carrie Burdett's coming.
That's right.
She's an opera singer, right? She's coming from Canada.
From Canada.
And she'll be performing during the opening on that night.
Yeah, and
we just found out about that, so that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, you know, our schedule is shifting and changing. We've been involved in many people in different conversations, and so now, and the invitation has gone out in various ways, and now we're getting lots of confirmations as people want to be involved. On Sunday, May 15th at 7, we will do a Q&A, and that is really where we can shed light for each other and for anyone who shows up on some of both the history of how the project came to be and listen to questions that anybody might bring us there on Sunday, May 15th. On Monday, May 16th, we'll be showing a few short films from Stephen Jenkinson, who's quite a fascinating guy. He's working with death and dying in really new ways. A documentary a few years ago called Grief Walker is being screened all over, including in Kingston in early June. And he wrote a book called Die Wise and kind of came into our process a little bit with his inspiration really to as a death phobic culture, for us to begin to re-examine what death is and how it makes sense of our life. So we're going to show a few short films of him and then have a walkthrough, and this just kind of came in that I think is quite appropriate.
And maybe Linda Weintraub's coming, the art historian. She wants to present one of her projects, which is about Mother Earth. I don't know whether she's going to be there or not. You'll have to check our website to see if she's able to come that night.
And then the following, so Tuesday, May 17th, we have a talk by Nathaniel Williams, who is the co-founder and partner at Free Columbia. And his talk will be on new ways of seeing and new ways of thinking. He is quite a learned guy, and that's going to be great. Wednesday, May 18th, we have Scenes from a Trashhold Opera, and that is something that we should definitely spend a little bit of time speaking about because Samsa is here with us, and this is a project that he just completed in Berlin, and actually we're really lucky in this part of the world to be able to take part in it.
I definitely want to hear about the Trashhold Opera. This is different than the opera singer from Canada, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Carrie was also involved with the Trashhold Opera, but the Trashhold Opera was a multimedia performance that took place in Berlin around March, and Carrie was also, she was involved, but there was also 16 artists all around the world who made this performance, and the theme was the same. So it was called the Trashhold Opera, the Heartiligency of Lazarus. So it was, we knew that we're going to do this project here, and I did this performance, and I'm going to show a lot of material from that, so videos and also scenes, and both on Wednesday and then on Saturday on the 21st, there's going to be performances related to this Trashhold Opera.
Okay, Samsa, right? Samsa,
yes,
how
correct.
Would you describe... What is a Trashhold Opera? Like I don't want to give it away. We want folks to experience for themselves on May 18th down behind the Basilica for themselves. But singing involved? Yeah.
Well, actually, there's a little bit trick there. There's not so much singing, uh-huh. even though it's opera. The opera word actually is related to this concept of the total artwork. So kind of what opera used to be, the kind of media where all the different art forms came together, singing, theater, mm-hmm. music, and so on. And this piece, it kind of tells the story of a person who finds himself in a sleep-like state and is lost in there. And he's guided by other characters who are also lost. And there comes someone who actually gives a way how to come out from the state of being beyond time and space, and that of course happens through the mythical heart phone and activating the heart phone, and the whole piece is about how to activate your heart phone. In a way it happens in the future, in a way it happens in the past, in a way it happens in all the times.
Heart phone,
like you have a smartphone, you have an art phone, and then you have a heart phone.
Heart phone. Nice. Myself and iPhone.
Yeah, it's the development of the phones. It's uh-huh. in the future, you know.
Uh-huh. I like this. And Sampsa, where are you from?
I'm from Helsinki, Finland.
Helsinki, not from Columbia Street here in the Helsinki. They don't have some secret Helsinki. Apartment up above no. Club Helsinki illegally no. housing these people no. to do art.
Not that I know. I never okay. been there. So
great place. Wonderful yeah, people at Club yeah. Helsinki. We love you. So you're from Finland. Are you just visiting here?
Yes, I was invited here by Laura and Jordan. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Laura and Jordan invited mm-hmm. you, and you've been participating with some of the free Columbia activities.
Yes. Yeah.
You'll be here for a while still, or?
I was here. I came here like a month ago, and I will be here until June. So we do the project and see a little bit in the future.
Until June. This yeah. sounds fantastic. So we got opera going on, not the typical opera you're thinking of, although there are opera singers, perhaps from Canada.
That's right. Yeah.
So and, what else? What and, else is going
yeah.
on?
And so on Thursday on May 19th, we have Robert Lever, who's a performance artist in New York City, who's traveling around the world. His latest piece is called Whole Earth, and he digs a hole and climbs into it. And he is going to be performing one of his whole pieces outside of this JMB building.
LMB is surrounded right. by concrete. So
that's right.
Does he have a jackhammer?
He does. He has a pick. Yes. Yeah. No. Okay. And it's rocky. It's rocky ground. We have done a site visit.
Uh-huh.
He's prepared. And at 7, he'll be in an artist dialogue where he'll be talking about his work and as well as our work and sort of the life of an artist and art and life. Friday, May 20th is a night of music where we have John Snyder. Who's kind of a longtime local and creates soundscapes, performing with Tim Kowalski, who's another collaborator of ours, in a project called Kama Loka. And Jin Zimberg, who's a good friend of ours and just a wonderful musician, will open at 7 p.m. So that is a night of music here at the Lazarus Project. And then on Saturday, May 21st, we close kind of with a crescendo of the performance, and also we have another good friend, MC Matre, who will be coming in from Los Angeles to perform for us. Really, I have to say, the best spoken word artist I've ever heard in person. He is absolutely phenomenal.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour, broadcasting live every weekday morning at 8 here on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties.
I'm Philip Gray, one of the contributors to All Together Now. Listen to Democracy Now! In the morning and All Together Now! In the evening, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported, hands-on radio.
Democracy Now! At 8.
All Together Now! At 6 p.m.
Here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Turn out or tune in to Amy Goodman, the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, Saturday, May 21st. She'll be there to help celebrate the start of WOOCLP, new low-power radio station run out of the Sanctuary for Independent Media. Tune in or turn out for a talk from Amy Goodman, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, Saturday, May 21st, in Troy and live on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia Counties.
It's time for radio news about radio waves.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Gizmodo reports that Senator Ron Wyden will introduce legislation next week that would roll back the government's new broader hacking power granted by the Supreme Court in April. The Rule 41 allows federal judges to grant warrants to the FBI to use what they call network investigative techniques. Anyone who has had their computer invaded would call that malware, and the government can use that malware on 10 or 10,000 computers, no matter the jurisdiction of those computers, because of the rule. And the rule also allows judges to give warrants to search the computers of victims of cybercrime, even if that person isn't a suspect. Quote, "By compromising computer systems, it could leave it open to other attackers. What if the government has to turn off the computer's protections to search it?" Unquote, Wyden told Gizmodo. Quote, "So if the government is out there turning off millions of security features in order to search computers, my view is that there could be some serious security threats," unquote. Wyden's legislation will be just one sentence, saying that the changes to Rule 41 will not go into effect. Congress has 6 months to pass such a measure before the rule change takes effect. This is Tom Rowe for Waveform Radio and WGXC. Our next interview is from Peter Battison, member of the English Camp Hill community and exhibit curator of Worldwide Weave on exhibit at the Solera Center for the Social Arts through May 16th. He talked to Tom DiPietro and Ellen Thurston on WGXC Afternoon Show.
Ellen, would you like to introduce our guests?
Yes,
should I?
Yes, I would.
I know one of them.
Cam Bellamy.
That is correct. I know.
Yes, and she's the executive director of our local Camp Hill.
Yes, Camp Hill Hudson.
Camp Hill Hudson and Solaris.
And Solaris is our center for the social art, located at 360 Warren Street.
So it's a short A, not a long A, the way Ellen was pronouncing it.
Solaris.
She said Solaris.
You say Solaris, I say Solaris.
Now I'm about to attempt Peter Bateson.
That's correct, yes.
Yes.
And exactly right.
And Peter is here...
From Long Island, the accent.
No. From England.
It was a joke.
All right, I see.
Yeah.
It passed me by.
Yeah, me too. Anyway...
Peter is here with an exhibition called Worldwide Weave. And I don't want to give the story away. I'll let you two tell it. I understand it's going around the world practically.
Yes, part of the world, not the whole world. But yes, it's an exhibition of 75 pieces of textile art created by workshops and groups of people with learning disabilities in 61 intentional communities. Wow. Located in 19 different countries worldwide, all belonging to the Camp Hill movement. And it's celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Camp Hill movement, the overarching organization. which started in Aberdeen in Scotland in 1940. So it's also the 50th anniversary of Camp Hill's presence in North America and the 50th anniversary of Camp Hill's presence in Scandinavia. So those three anniversaries are all happening together.
I didn't realize the show was that big.
Yes, it's 75 pieces of
Camp Hill was that big.
For 75 years. And in fact, the movement itself has 121 communities in 25 countries. But the exhibition only represents 61 communities
how many,
in 19 countries.
How many, I don't know the correct term, people do you serve throughout the world?
I don't know. It's a huge number. Many thousands.
Many thousands? Yeah, I mean, it's not. Yeah. Is it over 100,000? Or
probably, yes. I don't know. I'd have to sit down and do some calculations. Mm-hmm. But
I had no idea.
The biggest places, like Kopake Camp Hill Village, which is not far from here, is one of the biggest in the world. There are two or three other places of similar size, but not many. And they may have perhaps 20 to 25 houses and maybe 250 to 300 people living there, both people with learning disabilities and helpers and companions.
So sometimes they live with their own family in these communities, right?
No.
No, they don't?
No.
Oh, I thought they were. Okay.
No.
It's always with a companion or a...
They're always either sort of family-style houses, or in the case of a place like Camp Hill Hudson, which is the sort of new wave of Camp Hill places all over the world, urban communities, they tend to have small group homes for semi-independent living or separate flats and apartments for completely independent living, but, of course, with the kind of support that is necessary, because we believe that absolute individuality without the right kind of support leads to isolation.
Mm. We were so happy, or I was happy, when the Camp Hill first came to the city of Hudson. And I think it was the first time that you'd sort of broken out of that, of the village in Kopake. And I think it's been highly successful, hasn't it, Cam?
Yeah, thank you, Ellen. Yes, Camp Hill Hudson is the first urban Camp Hill community in the United States. Yeah, we do have a sister urban Camp Hill community in Canada, where actually this exhibit has just come from. So yes, we started 8 years ago, serving five individuals, actually across the street from you, Ellen, on Allen Street, and in two homes there. It was 3.5 years ago we were able to acquire 360 Warren Street Solaris, which, as I mentioned, is our center for the social art. Having that base, that center, has really allowed our community to grow. We now serve nine individuals residentially, four of them living semi-independently in their own apartments throughout Hudson, with housemates who live with them and give some supports. And we have a day program at Solaris where we serve 12 to 15 individuals depending on the day. And, yeah, have quite a thriving program.
And where do they come from? Where they live at home? I mean, with their families?
No. No. In fact, so the nine individuals that we support residentially here in Hudson, they are all actually able to walk to Solaris mm-hmm. independently. So living in the town creates quite a possibility for independence for people who are unable to drive cars or so, the possibility to walk mm-hmm. in town and get to places of worship, get to the pharmacy, the local shops, and Solaris really provides a level of independence these people wouldn't necessarily have.
And they also have to get to work. Yes. I see them going over to work in some garden that's on the north side someplace in Hudson, I'm not sure where. Or don't they go out to Triform, some of them?
We have one individual in our program who once a week goes out to Triform and works on the farm out there. We actually have a number of individuals from Triform who come here to experience city life and work in the town with us. We do a lot of volunteer work, including cooking at the Salvation Army Soup Kitchen once a week. One of our residents volunteers at the library and is very excited at the opening of the new library. We have an individual who volunteers at the Animal Kind regularly. We also deliver Meals on Wheels and really try to make an effort to really go in when we deliver meals and greet each person and get to know the individuals we are serving that way.
The system you have seems to require a lot of money. Mm-hmm. How is that raised? Do the families of the various people you serve pay a lot, or do you do it through fundraising? I mean, or is it a combination of all kinds of things?
It's a combination. So Camp Hill Hudson is different from many other Camp Hill communities in that we are largely Medicaid funded. People who are born with disabilities in this way in our system are entitled to
services. Anybody is eligible for this?
Anybody is eligible. We admit residents regardless of ability to pay. So our residential program is entirely state-funded. For Solaris, the state does not want to fund that. So to keep Solaris up and running, we are dependent on fundraising and a number of micro-enterprises that we run. So,
like the shop and things like that.
Yes, we do have a good
shop.
So
the idea of the Solaris site is just a place where the people throughout the city can come together and do things, and maybe weave. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do have a craft room there where we do do weave, and yes, we do weaving there, and we have a gallery space. We're able to host exhibits like the Worldwide Weave. We welcome a lot of community groups and community organizations in. We have theater groups, including the Actors Ensemble, Walking the Dog Theater, that regularly perform at Solaris.
Yes. The weekly community dinner?
Weekly community dinner.
Which you and I have attended, Ellen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, back to the...
I have to say, Ellen, I couldn't believe you went back for seconds and thirds.
It was really good. So, where is this exhibition been so far?
This is the 23rd venue, and the exhibition tour started in England in December 2014. Mm-hmm. And then it went on a tour of 19 venues in England and Wales, and then up to Scotland, then over to Northern Ireland, and then the Irish Republic. That was in 2015. And then this year it started off in Switzerland, mm-hmm. and then came over to Canada, to Camp Hill, Ontario, in Barrie, which is a very similar setup to Camp Hill Hudson, an urban venture, also a relatively young community. And... then we went down to New York City just for one day to be at the 50th anniversary dinner of Camp Hill in North America in a very beautiful venue in Tribeca, and then up here to Hudson.
You took the whole exhibition with you to New York as well?
Yes, yeah. It's relatively easy to transport because it all fits into five large suitcases and a big sports bag and a few boxes, so that's quite straightforward. And then after this, it will go down to Pennsylvania for 5 weeks in June, and then back over to Europe. And at the end of September, it will be in Oslo in Norway, in the City Hall, for the 50th anniversary celebrations of Camp Hill in Scandinavia. And then the last stop on the tour will be in November in Helsinki in Finland.
Service Daily Newscast for Friday, May 13, 2016. I'm Mark Richardson. The news you need to know today includes Donald Trump and Paul Ryan getting together for a friendly chat, a new federal report confirms that bee colonies are dying at an alarming rate, and it's National Bicycle Month, so grab your two-wheeler and let's go. In our top news story, Donald Trump and Speaker Paul Ryan met Thursday to talk politics and appeared to step back a bit from their political standoff. Afterward, Ryan said they had a good meeting, but still did not endorse the GOP's presumptive nominee.
Look, it's no secret that Donald Trump and I have had our differences. We talked about those differences today. Question is, what is it that we need to do to unify the Republican Party? We had a very good and encouraging, productive conversation on just how to do that.
After the meeting, Trump also toned down his criticism of Ryan, saying that though they have their differences, he considers the meeting a success. The Obama administration will serve notice today to schools across the country that they must provide transgender students access to facilities, including bathrooms and locker rooms, that match their chosen gender identity. The Justice Department is issuing a letter putting state and local officials on notice that they could lose federal aid if they confine students to areas based on the gender on their birth certificate. This comes just days after the Justice Department and North Carolina filed dueling lawsuits over a new bathroom law in that state. A federal judge has struck down a portion of the Affordable Care Act, ruling that President Obama exceeded his authority by funding billions of dollars in subsidies to health insurers. The decision sides with the House of Representatives, which brought the lawsuit challenging more than $175 billion in spending. The administration will appeal that ruling. Birds appear to be doing fine these days, but a new survey shows that bees could be in a lot of trouble. A USDA study reports that beekeepers lost 28% of their colonies last winter after losses of 22% the previous year. Eric Tegetoff has more.
The survey results are in keeping with a larger trend that started a decade ago, when bee numbers began to fall dramatically. Dr. Dewey Caron, a professor at Oregon State University, says the decrease in bees is in part because of the relatively new syndrome known as colony collapse disorder.
Doing the autopsy of the dead colonies, we saw a different series of characteristics, and it was different enough that we then coined a different term.
From April 2015 to March of this year, the survey says 44% of bee colonies nationwide were lost.
Letter carriers will be working to help stamp out hunger this weekend. Brandon Campbell has more.
The U.S. Postal Service is asking residents to set bags of non-perishable foods, cereal, pasta, canned fruits and vegetables, next to their mailbox. Then carriers will pick them up and get the donated food items to local food banks. Samantha Hartwig has been a letter carrier for 12 years and says they hold the food drive in May to help stock food shelves for the summer.
School is out of session in about a month, so a lot of families that rely on free and reduced lunches have lost that avenue to help feed their children.
She says this weekend's food drive will help stock some of Minnesota's food banks for about 6 months.
Campbell reports that last year the nationwide drive brought in 71 million pounds of non-perishable food. Starting Monday, California will make about 170,000 undocumented children eligible for Medi-Cal insurance. It's part of the Health for All Kids program, extending coverage to children in low-income families who qualify. Mike O'Day, with Children Now, says it's a smart move to invest in more comprehensive and preventative care rather than let health conditions worsen until kids have to go to the emergency room.
Everyone in our community needs access to health care services, especially kids, if we want a healthy, productive future of our state.
The coverage includes full medical, dental, and mental health services. State officials say the plan will cost about $20 million this year, and $143 million as more families sign up next year. Environmentalists are cheering as the Environmental Protection Agency finalizes federal rules to cut methane emissions from new sources. Mary Sherman clears the air with this report.
The oil and gas industry is the largest source of methane emissions in the country. The EPA finalized the standards on Thursday, which the agency says will produce an estimated $700 million in climate benefits by 2025. Jessica Innes with Earth Justice explains methane is a potent climate pollutant, trapping over 80 times as much heat in the short term as carbon dioxide.
This will be a big bite out of climate pollution. By 2025, reducing 11 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, that's equivalent to burning 11 fewer coal-fired power plants per year and taking 8.5 million cars off the road every year.
The gas and oil industry says the rules are unnecessary because it has already reduced emissions by almost 79% since 2005. But Ennis counters recent research has discredited those estimates. The EPA says the new standards will also reduce emissions of other pollutants, such as smog-forming compounds and toxics, linked to a variety of serious health issues, including cancer.
And in case you forgot to mark your calendar, May is National Bike Month, and appropriately, cycling enthusiasts in New Hampshire and other states are gearing up for Bike to Work Day, as well as other events linked to bicycle safety. They say about 4 in 10 trips nationwide are less than 2 miles, making bicycling a feasible and fun way to get to work. Bernie Fournier is a ride leader with the Granite State Wheelmen. He says from your personal health to the environment, there are plenty of reasons to saddle up and start pedaling.
I mean, it's good for your lungs, good for your heart. It doesn't cause any pollution. It is a very inexpensive way of getting from point A to point B.
This weekend, Fournier will be at Dartmouth College teaching rules of the road for safe cycling. And that's the news. I'm Mark Richardson for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts rain continues through the night into Saturday morning. 80% chance of rain Saturday. Low of 49 overnight and a high of 66 on Saturday. Saturday night, the rain probably continues as well with an 80% chance and a low around 39. Sunday, there's a slight chance of showers, just 20%. It should be partly sunny with a high near 49.
This is Timmer with the community calendar for WGXC. Go to WGXC.org and you can add events to the community calendar. Just click on the Add an Event button at the top of the community calendar page at WGXC.org. Copy and paste the information about your community event in the boxes, and soon folks like me will read your event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it at WGXC.org. On Saturday, there are Stop the Bomb Train protests up and down the Hudson River. Clyrock Library has a book sale from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, May 14th. Coxsackie's hosting its Earth Day celebration from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Coxsackie Riverside Park with all sorts of activities. In New Paltz, there's a bike swap from 10 a.m. to noon at the New Paltz Middle School. Community Action of Greene County is hosting a flea market from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, May 14th. Taconic has a zoning board meeting from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, May 14th. Burton C. Bell, Noah Guard, and Vachel Shannon will be at a book signing at Curran's Game Store in Catskill at 5 p.m. Saturday, May 14th. The poets Alex Gilvary, Jody Poloni, and Alexandra Kleeman will be reading at the volume series at Spotty Dog Books and Ale at 7 p.m. Saturday, May 14th. And the Lazarus Project has its opening at the Inky Editions space in Hudson at 112 Front Street. That's at 7 p.m. May 14th. Roseanne Cash is at Clubhouse Helsinki Saturday, and the Us Girls and She Devils are at Half Moon in Hudson. Matt Luzek, Romantic Crazed, and Adrian are at My Life in the Bush of Ghost in New Paltz Saturday, May 14th. Pitchfork Militia is at the High Falls Cafe.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar. If you have a press release for All Together Now, send it to news at WGXC.org. And our crack community reporters will see if we can mention your news on the local airwaves on the collaborative 6 p.m. local radio news show, All Together Now. Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Roseanne Cash is at Club Helsinki Saturday.
calling like a friend from my future, from your memory, and it never has to end. This message will not end.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties, is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone? Then you could be a contributor to All Together Now. Send your idea for a regular segment, or tell us if you would like to cover a specific beat, and WGXC can share technological skills, reporting rules, sunshine laws, and helpful hints to help report on your community.